This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll relive the Luka Doncic press conference here and talk about some of the things he said and the questions that he answered. We also have some Pat Beverly content. He has been on fire, really, over the last 24 hours. Picked the Mavs to win, hates Chris Paul. So I think you'll appreciate what he has to say. We'll get to that before too long right here. General at your service, at ease. There's Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup. Eric Chiafalo in the talk booth. Eric Chiafalo, family man, father of two, a two-year-old and a one-year-old daughter, hashtag girl dad. And, of course, you have Carter Freeman back there coordinating your video at 105thefan.com and on Twitch. Yeah, it was great meeting Chiafalo's wife Saturday at Twin Peaks in Irving. Salute to all the Tolos that came by and said hi. We had ourselves a time.
That was fun. A lot of fun.
Cut six. Luka Doncic asked, how good can this team really be?
I mean, I always said this team is special. The way we bond together, the way we play. When we play hard and defensively, it's tough to stop us. But I think after first two games here, our defense improved really well, and that's what won us the game.
Yeah, the defense, the camaraderie, the way that they have bonded and gelled and come together. I think that goes back to Jason Kidd as well, but also shout out to the front office for getting Porzingis out of there. It was a toxic contaminant.
Yes, he was. Amen to that. And I love that Luka goes right to the defense.
Yeah.
Like that's what kind of the backbone of the team is. It's obviously his own dominance, and then we'll see on a night-to-night basis who's helping him out offensively, but it's the consistency of the defense, and that's what was the biggest head-scratcher in the first two games of the series.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we got no answers. The one thing we felt confident in, other than, of course, Luka's greatness, is the defense is going to travel, and they're going to keep him in every single game, and it wasn't until kids started doing the adjustments that it was like, okay, now we're back to being where we are here.
Yeah, a phenomenal job. And Jason Kidd, getting the message through to Luka, like, you got to participate in defense. Yeah. We crushed him here on this show. And now that they proved they could slow down an elite offense like the Suns have, I'll answer the question. I mean, how good can this team really be? I think they could win the championship. I don't think there's any reason to say they have a worse chance than any of these other three teams still in it.
Yeah, they're one of the four. And the one thing, if you just go and check stats, if you're into that kind of stuff, the teams that play defense are all still left.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. And if there's a complete buy-in, and I think in a way Luka was probably thanking his teammates for playing defense and the buy-ins, because there were times where, you know, he was not really in. But this is where Jason Kidd knows his team. The fact that he's able to kind of get on the star player a little bit and say, hey, I need you to do this a little bit more, you know, and he came out and he said it in the media. Now, I wonder if he probably went up to Luka and said, listen, I'm going to kind of blast you a little bit in the media for your defense, but I don't take it the wrong way, okay? I'm just making sure.
That'll make the other players wake up a little bit. If I can call him a star player, that means you better be on your game.
Lucius has lived this, so he understands this, because that's what it is. You know, you got to let the star player know, I'm getting on you a little bit so to get the other guys to wake up.
This is the Brady Belichick thing. They used to always talk about Belichick would mother bleep Brady in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And it was like, behind closed doors, Belichick's like, hey, you understand this. And eventually Brady's like, no, I get it.
Yeah.
And hopefully Luka's that type of guy that's like, well, Luka, you can played. Do what you need to do.
Luka played. I mean, you talk about, I mean, you watch the replays of the game and stuff like that. Luka's diving for loose balls and stuff like that, scrapping it up. So, that was a complete buy-in in that game 7 for sure.
That's why Spittle's always screaming at me behind closed doors, you know. It really star tears players. Me up, pushes me around, badgers me in front of you guys.
We all notice.
Yeah. Brings our game up, man. Like, oh, damn, he's calling out the general.
Guy, the general might be fired here.
Cut 7, you seemed really relaxed at the beginning of the game, Luka. Did you feel any pressure of a game 7?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's game 7, you know. I like these games. It's pressure. I think we, I mean, I know we were the underdogs. Everybody had the Suns on to win this one. But like I say, you know, the whole locker room believed. And that's what won us the game. And I, once again, I think we play amazing today.
Yeah, they did play amazing. And if you can have fun in those moments, it really gives you an edge. Like, you can't let the pressure make you turtle and go inside. Then you're psyched out. And Luka just, you know, has this, I think, as much as anybody had ever played the game.
The really good ones are able to see the joy in playing in a game seven.
Yeah.
Because it is that competition. It is that pressure.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is folding like a wet napkin. Mm-hmm. And then you got the guys that, like the Troy Aikmans, the Lucas, guys like that. And they look at it as, man, I'm about to really shine here.
Huge edge.
Huge opportunity. Yeah, if you look at it as a joy to play in these games and not as a nightmare, you're going to play a lot better. You really, really are.
What a special genetic makeup. Yeah. From the physical attributes to be as dominant as he is, and then to have that, like, internally to rise to those occasions. Yeah. And he's done it since he's been a Mav. I mean, it was early on in his Mavs tenure where you could see at the end of close games, he knew, like, hey, I'm the guy. I need the ball here. This is going to be in my hands one way or another. And, like, he thrives in it. Like we said to start the show, the comfort level of him in an environment like that, in a moment as big with the stakes that high, and it's just, I'm going to go score the first eight points of the game. I'm going to put my team at ease, and then we're just going to go crush balls.
It can separate champions from runners-up. I really think that can be a decisive factor here as we move forward. He's definitely the best player still left in the playoffs. There's some pretty close ones, though, Butler and Tatum. I mean, there's some great players out there.
As long as you embrace the journey, you'll always have that success.
Okay, when no one is picking you guys to win, how does that person affect you? Here's more Luka.
For me, it's same like trash talking. It gets me going. It's another motivational stuff. It gets us going. And everybody was talking about it even before the game won. You know, nobody picked us. So it was motivational for us.
Well, I got more motivation for you then, Luka, because I got the 2022 NBA championship odds to win.
Oh, let's go.
Golden State, or actually, well, I came out of the gates a little too hot there, so I won't make you guess. Golden State's got the best odds right now to win it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boston's number two.
Wow.
Good team.
Miami Heat are number three.
Woo!
Which, of course, leaves the Dallas Mavericks as fourth out of four in terms of Vegas thinking who's got the best odds to win the title. So if I'm Jason Kidd, I'm printing that. That's going all over the place.
What's the spread? What's the
So you're looking at 27-20 odds. Golden State wins it all. 9-5 that Boston wins it all. 19-4 that the Heat win it all. 23-4, which would be plus 575 for the Mavs.
So 1-1 is the top, and I'm betting the Mavs hard. That sounds great. This is not gambling advice for entertainment purposes only, but I think we've seen they have as good of a chance as anybody after beating the Suns. I mean, the Suns were the pick to come out of the West.
Yeah.
And I love that. If I'm looking to place a bet, I definitely wouldn't want to place a bet on any of these teams at 1-1 or 2-1 odds. So thank you for that. Okay, cut nine. What kind of a lift did you get from Dinwiddie tonight? Here's Luka Doncic.
Oh, amazing, man. The only thing I told him is don't go left because you shoot an air ball, so you got to go right.
Busted balls a little bit. Yeah. I love that. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot of interesting stuff going on around this victorious Mavericks situation. Patrick Beverley was amongst the storylines as he went viral over the weekend. The T-Wolves guard stepped in for 2 days of work with ESPN. He was really good. He picked the Mavs to win Game 7, which very few in the media did. I think maybe we need to pick against the Mavs. I don't know. Can one of us do that very loudly to get the Mavs going? I don't know if we got to do that. But as the blowout was happening last night, Patrick Beverley goes viral for tweeting, "Y'all stay locked in. Let's see who pulls the fake hurt move down a dub." As the game is over, in comes the tweet from Mark Spears that Paul was limping slowly off the floor. There were reports of a quad pull. Paul had no comment when asked for an official comment after the game.
He did. I heard him say it. Yeah.
But said, hopefully I can be healthy next year.
Yeah.
But Beverley was then celebrated even more for not only picking the win, but picking the Suns, making excuses. So that was amazing.
He knew.
He hates Chris Paul.
He does.
And he was rejoicing in it the whole time. I think Paul looked good enough during the series. I think, you know, they just got beat. And he has a track record of losing when he's up 2-0 in a series. I don't know. I don't think injury was the deciding factor. We've spent an hour and 10 minutes talking about how good of a job the Mavs did. But, you know, maybe Paul got hurt again. That is something that he does and something we talked about for giving the Mavs an edge. How do you guys roll in that story?
Father Time.
Right.
That's a Father Time play right there. He had that great. He finished off that fourth quarter in that one series, you know, the one game. And then from that point on, you never heard from him again, really.
Yeah.
You know, he was in foul trouble and, you know, he wasn't himself.
It was incredible how awesome he was in game two. He was unstoppable.
But it
that's what age will do to you.
I think what happened is the longer the series wore on, the harder it was for him to have to play.
Yeah, he was asked afterwards if he's going to hang him up, and he said he has no plans. I don't know why you would retire.
Yeah.
You know, you still have a championship to get to and a big salary they're going to continue to pay you. It'd be crazy to walk away from that kind of situation.
Somebody on the timeline called him CP37. Yeah. And I don't know how to feel about that yet. I'm still trying to process that myself. Right. I'll take it personal.
Man, it is tough when these guys are around your age and people are talking about how washed they are.
You're like, damn.
Yeah, at Brian and I's age, nobody even tries it anymore,
No.
But we do have a little bit of audio with Pat Beverly this morning as he continued.
Oh, yeah.
He jumped back on multiple ESPN shows. He was on with Stephen A.
He did the car wash.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Okay, so what do we have here? Is this a good comparison for Chris Paul? Or no, we have something else first, right?
He's a cone?
Yeah, he's a cone.
CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know
can't
that.
Guard,
everybody
can't
know
guard
that.
Anybody.
What we call a cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Use a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody
that
knows that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because
no, I don't
CP.
Accept that.
I don't.
No. I'm saying, again, if you're taller than them, you know, so you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
but
an
give
issue.
Him the Ben Simmons slander. Give him the PG-13 slander.
Hold on.
Give him the slander that you give everybody. Come on, Steve.
Come on, Steve.
Come on, Steve. There's the dismount right there.
No, he's right.
My favorite is that Brian brought us dressed up as Chris Paul today. He looks like a damn cone, doesn't he? Bright orange.
The traffic cone
that's
out there.
That's controlling out of you, bro.
I was kind of hoping we had our team picture today with my shirt on. I couldn't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday.
Your official Pro Bowl NFL shirt, right?
This is when the Pro Bowl lost their mind for a little
bit. Put some respect on that wardrobe.
Yeah. I've got the gray and a hat that goes with that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The Pro Bowl lost their mind for one time.
They did lose their mind.
Yeah. They did.
Calling him a cone. I don't know. I think Chris Paul can be pretty dang good defensively, but that really resonates like the Father Time statement that you made. It's hard to be consistent night after night when you get to that age. What else do we have here from Pat Beverly?
They bitched the wrong person here, apparently.
Right. That's, I think, the point we're trying to make here, Pat Bev, is that no one is, if Luka, that's what Wendy just said, if Luka had scored 60 last night and they win by 6, we would have all said, unbelievable player. The Suns didn't show up. They didn't play. They scored 27 points in the first half on their home floor in a Game 7 for a team that, however good or bad we think they were, they did win 64 games this year. It is something that I think has stunned a lot of people. How do you explain it?
First off, I know a lot of them, I'm going to get a lot for this, but, you know, I don't really care. They benched the wrong person. Should have benched Chris.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying bench him now. Once you see they starting attacking Chris early, and you know that might become a problem later on, you need to see how my team works without Chris in the game a little bit. I got benched.
Wow.
We won, though.
Right.
So
right.
You don't even remember that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, as a coach, you have to understand, like, man, I have to understand they're attacking my main guy. I can't get buckets from him. I have to make an adjustment, whatever that adjustment is. And that's no fault against Monty. He's a great coach of the year. But T. Lou, if T. Lou's there, he's making that decision. It's a hard decision, but he's making it.
He's benching Chris Paul in Game 7.
Not benching him, but spurts here. We got to see something else. I mean, apparently it didn't work.
Acknowledging that it has become a problem, and despite his stature, I'm just making sure I'm understanding, despite his stature in the game.
Coach the game, not the player.
Yeah.
Okay, the Suns were outscored by 39 in the 31 minutes that CP37 played yesterday.
Oh, damn!
But that's where I think Pat Beverly is going into a little bit of, like, just dunking all over Chris Paul, kicking a dog while he's down. Would you actually bench Chris Paul in a situation like that? You don't really have another real point guard, even.
No, that's the problem. And Monty fell on the sword for that one, you know, because, again, you're getting crushed. You know, can you do something different? I think it was so far gone already. If you start benching him, maybe it's like you're kind of blaming him for that. I think to me that it was Monty played the hand he had to play, because in the post game he even said, "I've played these guys too much. I played them too much." And that itself is like, okay, I get it. You're falling on the sword for your team. I can understand what Pat's saying, but Monty took the high road to protect his relationship with Chris. Is what he did.
The human element of coaching. That's what comes in. And yeah. some
he
guys,
knew the game was lost.
Right, right.
And he's like, I ain't bringing this one back. Whether I bench Chris or not, this thing ain't coming back.
Yeah, the time to experiment that would have been around game four or game six or something when it's still closer and you have a chance to change things up a little bit. But I think, you know, they say the series doesn't start until a home team loses at home, right? And that having happened, I don't know why, if you're Monty Williams, you wouldn't just trust what had continued to work at home, because it wasn't a problem at all up until yesterday. Kendrick Perkins on television on the subject of Pat Beverly said he'd like to see Pat and PJ Tucker on the Warriors next season, and that's a scary thought. I wanted to ask you guys, did Pat Beverly win you over a little bit with his hatred of Chris Paul and his admiration of Luka Doncic? Would you want Pat Beverly after everything that's transpired in those two Clippers series on this Mavericks team?
I like honesty. You know, I do. I appreciate the fact that, you know, there's a lot of these times guys and gals come on these shows and they say stuff to protect people. I don't think that's necessarily the best way to go. I think you have to be fair about it, though.
Yeah.
But he's pointing out the problems that the Suns had. You know, he's just pointing them out a little more sharply than a lot of people would. You know, we like guys like Tim McMahon. So Tim could be a little sharp with criticism and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be fair about it. But I have no problem with what he said about the player.
How about on your team?
A guy that could be critical like that?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't want him going into the media and, like, you know, always after a game saying stuff like that.
Yeah,
but he would probably have to live with it. But I appreciate honesty about situations. I don't think you should sugarcoat things that,
He's not going to sugarcoat, is he, Chief?
No, he is not. He's not. And he's always been one of those guys that we talked that you talk about as being frustrating, annoying. You want to hate on him a little bit because there's obvious limitations to his game. So he's an easy guy to kind of poke fun at as well. But there was always the caveat when talking about Pat Beverly, but he's a guy you'd love to have on your team.
Yeah,
absolutely, I'd take.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the nine numbers that tell the story of the Mavericks' evisceration of the Suns. We have the Cowboys news of the day coming up at 3:40. And yes, I'm going to tell you why Jason Garrett called my personal cell yesterday. 2 months, two Cowboys quarterbacks ringing me up. And that's coming up here over the next 30 minutes on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Segment here is brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. Eric Chiafalo is going to lead you in another really awesome Mavericks segment, the nine stats of the Mavs' evisceration of the Suns. Segment's also brought to you by Rubin & Associates, though. If you're struggling financially, facing foreclosure or repossession, have IRS credit card or medical debt, you don't have to face it alone. With one phone call, Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders and get you to live in life again. Call Mark right now, 1-800-LAWYERS. Here he is, Eric Chiafalo.
All right, boys and girls, Mavericks eviscerate Phoenix last night. It was a surreal evening for all of us. They win by 33 points. They do it on the road in a Game 7 against the team with the best record in the entire league, entering the playoffs as the championship favorite. So it was, I mean, truly one of the more stunning outcomes in NBA history is what we witnessed last night. And so the Ringer has a really nice article. Zach Cram is a basketball super genius. And so he has some, just to contextualize how insane this game was, how insane this performance was. And then it kind of reaches into the series as a whole as well at times. But there's some really good stuff here. And it starts off by basically only one road team ever having won a game seven by a greater margin than what the Mavs did last night. You have to go all the way to 1948. It's the Philadelphia Warriors. This is probably Broadus's Philadelphia Warriors.
I was selling popcorn that day at the arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Broadus could rattle off the entire 1948 Philadelphia Warriors team, I could imagine. But that is pre-NBA Basketball Association, okay? Of America, that kind of deal. 39 points is what they won by. So now the modern record is now Dallas's, but it was previously belonged to the 05 Pacers. They beat Boston in a game seven by 27 on the road.
Wow.
So, and I think Reggie Miller was kind of talking about it on the broadcast last night, because Reggie Miller was a part of that Pacers team, went in, beat Paul Pierce and the Celtics 05. So
it was one of the few non-annoying things that he said.
Hey, man, chill out, bro. Chill out.
Oh, I had him on.
I hate Reggie. I love Reggie in the mix. He says everything with his chest, whether he's right or wrong. He's just so excited about it. I love it, dog. I'm just laughing sitting on the couch. Like, oh, go ahead, Reggie.
All right.
He has no idea what he's talking about, but he loves it.
It's good to know that some people like him.
I love it.
I guess it makes a little bit more sense now for the execs to hang on to him.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. Game was a blowout from the start until garbage time. Mavs won each of the first three quarters by double digits. So at halftime, they're up by 30. That's a new record for a game seven. Being up by 30 at the half in a game seven, that's a new NBA record as well.
And it really feels like, to me, it was like a 45-point win. That's the way it felt, because so much of the fourth quarter was spent inside that 40 range. And then the late three that ticked off Boban to even bring it down to, what, 33? It was much closer to 40 than a 30-point win, if you ask me.
Yeah, Boban was ready to go John Wick style on these dudes. That was pretty funny at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, Boban's riled up. I've never seen him angry before.
And I can't tell if I'd pick him in a fight, you know? I think it would be kind of like a Princess Bride with Andre the Giant fighting a little guy.
Fair enough. But I will say, I read this article on Boban from like years ago in The Athletic, and they describe like how good of shape this guy's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's obviously bigger, like he's a monster, he's an ogre. But he's a friendly monster for the most part. But you don't want to rile up the friendly monster.
Shrek?
Yeah, he's got that vibe
friendly,
to him.
Friendly monster?
But he's like supposedly one of the most like in shape dudes. Yeah. Like, you had players from like the Spurs when he was on the Spurs and stuff talking about like the dude's regimen and like how hard he works and all that kind of stuff. He's in shape. So like,
it was impressive to see him fall all the way down and get back up without, you know, I wonder about these things.
Yeah.
And then the little lefty reverse lay-in that he attempted.
God,
I'm always surprised how
coordinated.
Yeah, he's coordinated.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little bit of a hooper. I think, you know, he moves like a good YMCA player, which is a compliment to him, because usually guys like that are just lumbering.
You see how big his hands were compared to everybody else's head?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to fight that guy.
Probably
big
not.
Big frying pan hands. By the time he lands that, he's going to ring for 3 days, man.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
He carries the basketball like it's like an apple.
Like it's
or
nothing,
something.
Yeah. Like it's a little Nerf ball you're dunking on your kid or something.
Okay, Mavericks led by 27. Suns only scored 27 in the first half. That's the second fewest for any team in Game 7 history. It's the 08 Hawks, who were the 8th seed. They were terrible that year. They scored 26 in the first half. Because they surprisingly got to game seven against the eventual Celtics, the eventual champion, who were the Celtics that year. But I mean, the first half was a historically bad half. Of course, you have Luka scoring the same amount of points as the Suns did, and he did it completely by himself with 27 in the first half. You have Luka ending the game with 35 points in just 30 minutes. Spencer Dinwiddie goes 30 points off the bench. Doncic and Dinwiddie, the first pair of teammates to each score 30 points in a game seven since Shaq and Kobe.
Wow.
Did the deed against the Sacramento Kings in 02.
Oh, that was an epic series right there as well.
It was. But how about that?
I think the Lakers had to come back. Yeah, it's historic. You know, it really is. And as impressive as it was what the Mavs did, the stat before that you gave earlier on how bad the Suns were with 27, it's like you had these two massive polar opposites. And I don't think you can get away from the idea that the Suns are chokers now. some of the biggest chokers we have seen in our lifetimes in the world of sport, combining what happened last year with what we just witnessed. And I'm not sure exactly what it's all about, but they weren't ready to play. They were psyched out, and the Mavs absolutely were ready for the moment, where I think Phoenix was maybe in denial about how big the moment was, or it's weird. And then how they went out as losers with the weird attitudes and injury stuff. It's like, I don't know if the world's jumping on them enough for how pathetic that was. I know I'd be thoroughly disgusted if I was a Suns fan today.
Yeah, and Chris Paul, that narrative's now with him, stuck with him, will be glued to him forever. If he can find a way to get a title, and we'll see how much of an influence he is on whatever title he can end up getting potentially over the next 2 or 3 years, whatever. But that's stuck to him. If you're Devin Booker, you're like, get away from me, Chris Paul. Because now this is start, like, Devin Booker's now, he let the 2-0 lead in the finals go last year. He doesn't show up at all in Game 7 at home, and another, you know, forfeit of a 2-0 series lead for him. So now that's two on his belt. If you're Devin Booker, you're going, dang, I don't want this narrative. But is that going to end up being his story when we look back? And he's still got time to change it.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like, oh my gosh, am I following the footsteps of Chris Paul in a way that I desperately don't want to be?
Chris Paul doesn't win a championship ever. He's going to be in that realm of Hall of Fame basketball players, the John Stocktons and people like that don't win a championship.
Like a Yips factor, where it's like you get in these moments and he's like, he's got too much now. There's been too much. The history's there. He's seen too much.
No,
and it's like, oh no, I don't have it.
He's had opportunities the last, you know, this was, they always say is, oh, this was your best opportunity. No, really, his best opportunity was last year. That was his best opportunity.
Well,
and that, you know, to be actually be in the finals and be up 2-0 and not get it done. Yeah, if you look at really the Suns, yeah, they won all these games, but when it comes to playoff success, they regress, right?
They're the first team to outpace the league by 8 games and not even win the championship.
See, nobody remembers that
now. Finals.
Nobody's going to remember that anymore.
They dominated the league.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that now. It's the same thing. Didn't the Mavs with the first seed went Golden State, right? Golden State knocked them around that 1 year, Donnie Nelson and that crew. That crew. Yeah. I mean, nobody remembers. They always say, oh, the Mavs were the number one seed. Nobody the records and all that. No, it's these championships now. Chris Paul will not win a championship.
I think they got to blow up the team. I don't know how trading one star, probably I'd be looking to part with Chris Paul for anything right now. Like, oh, here he is, Chris Paul, Hall of Famer. Who wants this guy to entertain your fan base? Can I get Colin Sexton? Hell, can I get Russell Westbrook? You know, I'm looking for any new combination other than Chris Paul dominating the basketball, because we need Ayton more involved. Everybody's going young. We have one of the few centers in the entire league that can punish that. He can dribble, he can pass, he can score. And if you bring Littles, the offense should be flowing through him. And I'd be looking to move on from him.
I think he's now 3-5 in game sevens. His career record is
Chris Paul.
Yeah, yeah. There's something that not right there.
I wonder how much money you could have made on a prop bet that had Cam Johnson with all of his 12 points leading the Suns in scoring.
Yeah.
Like, is there anybody out there that had Cam Johnson, $5 on Cam Johnson leading the team in scoring, and boom, now they're making it rain?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened yesterday.
It was epic midway through the third quarter when Harlan says, Cam Johnson leads all Suns scorers with 7.
You're like, what the hell? Their starting lineup scored 37 points. Luka didn't play the fourth. He had 35.
Yeah. And this is why it's so important to have players like Luka in today's game. And I know the usage rate is a major criticism of players like James Harden, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic. But look what happened to Devin Booker. A double team completely took him out of his game.
Yeah.
You have the rest of your teammates 4-on-3, and you could never do jack squat with it.
Well,
you couldn't dribble out of pressure. You couldn't pass your way out of pressure. That's why I need all of my players to have point guard skills.
Well, the Mavs also figured out that it wasn't a gamble to them, because they'd seen how bad Chris Paul had played for the last 3-4 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't Chris Paul got him that fourth quarter that one time, and they're like, oh no, here goes Chris Paul. But no, once they figured out it, he's not going to kill you in this game. You know, then it'd be, we'll take Booker out. I can't believe that they didn't use Ayton more, though. You know, that's the thing. I can't believe that they didn't even try that.
There's something weird going on there.
But Monty said after the game, though, he's like, it was an internal matter while, right. You know, what's going on, why he didn't play as enough.
So. And it's definitely an indictment on Devin Booker, on the lack of ability to pivot from, okay, I'm being double teamed, how can I still beat this defense? But also, I think there is some criticism owed Monty Williams' way.
Yeah.
You're the head coach. You got to be dialing stuff up here. And I love Monty Williams. What a great dude. He was coach of the year. Great person. Incredible story. God-fearing man. Like, there's nothing not to like about Monty Williams. But it's like, man, you couldn't draw up something to say, hey, you know that Devin Booker's getting double-teamed now. Yeah. Can you draw something up? And just to put it in perspective on Chris Paul here for a second. So he goes 10 points. He was minus 39 in the plus-minus. This is that's the worst single game plus minus in Chris Paul's career, regular season or playoffs. The performance also, it was just terrible. After the Suns took the 2-0 lead, Chris Paul averaged 9.5 points over the next five games.
The Mavs realized that he wasn't going to beat him.
From game three on, Broadus, Chris Paul made 18 shots from the field and committed 18 turnovers. Yeah.
Wow. So the injury thing is going to be part of the storyline, but he wasn't limping. He was getting around just fine.
Exactly. He didn't look like somebody who was dealing with anything.
I prefer to believe the Mavs just came up with an excellent defensive game plan that pinched off everything they were trying to do, as they made the Mavs look in the first two games of the season. Great job. A terrific article. You can read more about that at theringer.com. Cowboys news of the day. Why Jason Garrett called me up this weekend. It's next here on 105 through the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is time for some C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening here, a little earlier than usual. Are the Cowboys really worth this much? We'll get that story here, and then I'll tell you why Jason Garrett called me yesterday. He wanted to rap about a few things. Any guesses on why? The truckwreck.com fan text is open. But Peter King recently spoke with Jerry Jones, asked him what the Cowboys would be worth if he was going to go sell them. Jerry says, more than $10 billion. He said, let me make this very clear. I'll say it definitively. I will never do it. I'll never sell the Cowboys, ever. So we always got something going. People follow us year-round. The owner every now and then gets in the paper. It just adds to the interest. All of it. People love that. So maybe during this incredibly bad bleep storm of an offseason, Jerry Jones finds value in his dirty laundry getting aired out. But he does have a good point, and it's part of their strategy to remain relevant, to give you a soap opera, and also the most interesting football team on the field. And they pull it off most years, Brian, to over $10 billion worth of value. That actually doesn't surprise me.
No, it shouldn't. And, you know, when you start to talk about the team and the stadium and all that stuff like that, the complex out there at the Star, the property that you'll be getting, it makes perfect sense why this team would be worth $10 billion.
Would you sell it if you were him? Are we anywhere near a top of this market?
You know what? The problem is he has kids that have worked in it all their lives.
Yeah.
There's some families like the Boland families and other families that have had this team, the Mares in New York, Tish family as well. It's now part of it's jobs for their kids. And so that's why Jerry wouldn't sell it. You know,
it's a lifestyle. Yeah, it's a ticket to everything that you want to do.
It is. It's, you know, and they've got the grandkids and stuff like that.
And you have so many other businesses now with the building of the stadiums and the concession.
You run Dallas. If you run the Cowboys, you run Dallas.
Yeah.
This whole city is yours, bro.
I think $10 billion would actually be a deal. I think it'd be a deal for that team.
Steal. Yeah. Because it's going to keep going up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right now with the inflation, the way everything is, it's like, of course it's going $10 billion right now. And I bet there's guys walking around that would say, I'd pay more than that for it.
For sure.
I guarantee you there's big money dudes going, dude, if you get, I'd buy it for 20. I mean, the Broncos are about to go for $4 or $5 billion.
Twitter was just bought for $44 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
kind of
they might be walking that back now, right? I don't know what's going on with that.
But that was the price,
Let me check the books again.
Yeah, but that was the price, right? $44 billion.
That's what was agreed to.
So, I mean, to me, that look what a soccer team got sold for. You know, Chelsea, what is that? Well, they haven't sold it officially yet. That's $4 or $5 billion right there.
Yeah.
That's another iconic brand. So,
And I think Jerry would drive the absolute hardest of bargains. Like, if somebody wanted to buy it, he would convince them or sell them on all of the other value that was coming along with it and wouldn't let it go cheap at all. Okay, follow-up to Roger Staubach calling me. how Jason Garrett ended up calling my personal cell phone yesterday. Okay. Now, did you hear the first story, Eric Chiafalo?
I did. Okay. Yes, I did.
Okay. Zach Wolchuk's going to join us here coming up at the top of the hour from the ballpark. He is your Rangers pre and post game show host, a lot of games.
Is this now? He was calling the game yesterday, too, right?
Garrett?
Birmingham situation. Yeah. Okay.
Did he catch some of that?
I did. Yeah. Maybe how did he do first quarter. He did great. Yeah. I turned it on so, well, you know, people in the house can hear us, like, see if they know, recognize the voice.
Uh-huh.
I was looking around, you guys recognize that voice? You know, that type of thing. But yeah, he did all right, man. He did okay.
Okay, well, I later found out that he was on his way home from that when he called me. More on those details here in just a second. You remember last month, Roger Staubach called me. He had been asked from Babe Laufenberg to call the UTEP quarterback Gavin Hardison, right? And give him a pep talk.
Right.
And Babe was busy when he gave Roger's people my phone number.
Okay.
He was attempting to give Gavin Hardison's. And so he was in the middle of an event, scrolled for the contact, got the number, didn't put on his glasses, he said. He goes to the readers, but he did not have the readers with him because he was at a public appearance and stuff like that, and he was in a hurry. So you could easily see how Dawson and Hardison could be transposed. And he gave Roger Staubach my number. And he called me. It was incredible. And we had a good laugh after we figured it out. And, you know, he said, well, you better give that Babe a tough time and stuff like that. And it was really the second best phone call I've ever received, that Roger Staubach call last month. It was a lot of fun. So 6 weeks later, it was like, I don't know, 6:30 yesterday. I was playing a little Call of Duty before the Mavs game. Okay, it's the best way to make time fly, video games. Like, oh, I got to wait an hour and a half for the Mavs game. Boom. Call of Duty makes it seem like 12 minutes. So the phone rings. And I look down, and let me see here. It said Blue Star Operations, something like that.
Yeah.
And
he must have the cell phone.
Okay.
You still got the team cell phone.
And you're mid, like, headset on. Like,
I got my headset on, and I notice it vibrating, and I thought, oh, telemarketer. And then I double-checked, and I was like, Blue Star, that's something cowboyish.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, I would have thought some itching. Blue Star ointment. Blue Star ointment. Ringworm or something like that. What's going on? I feel like something online.
Yeah, but my first thought was to jump to Cowboys, and maybe I actually thought maybe Broadus is up at the Star, and he's calling me from a landline or something. But either way, I was like, I have no idea who this is. So I take one earphone off, and I answer the phone, and I say, this is Gavin. He says, hi, Gavin, this is Jason Garrett. And so instantly I put down my headset and my controller because I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I believed the voice.
Right.
I was like, man, if that's not Jason Garrett, that is a dead-ass ringer for Jason Garrett because the impression is spot on. And this is going to be good one way or another. Either I'm in for an epic prank or actually Jason Garrett is calling me. And, of course, instantly I thought about the mix-up last month with Babe Laufenberg, and my mind's already starting to go. So, you know, it's been at least 2 years since I've said anything really negative about Jason Garrett.
Huh.
I mean, in the lead-up to his... you know, resignation or leaving.
Sure, bro?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Are you
actually
sure?
Check the tape.
Two whole years, dog?
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point.
Think about last week.
18 months.
Yeah. But generally lately, anyway.
Trey wrecked this thing.
Lately, my takes have been, boy, I think maybe Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan had something.
You have said that. That's true.
You know, that Kellen Moore doesn't. At least they understood how to get the most of the quarterback.
Yeah.
They understood you got to have more of a threat of the run. You're going to need a better running game. You need to be balanced. And Kellen Moore's out there thinking like Dak Prescott's Peyton Manning. So I was actually giving Jason Garrett some props of that recently. So I thought, there's no way he's really calling to ream me. You know, that at least that's what I thought.
Well, he's getting into broadcasting now. Clearly, maybe you want to get some tips from you. Or maybe it's like, hey, I know there's an open seat on your show. Am I too late to give it a run?
That would have been awesome. But I wasn't thinking about those. The only thing was, you know, either Babe gave him the wrong number two or, man, Jason Garrett's calling to give me a piece of his mind finally after all these years. It's taken him a while to catch up and get after all these guys. But I did. I said, yes, sir, this is Gavin Dawson. He said, well, I wanted to call you and talk to you about quarterback and tell you best of luck in the upcoming season. You have a lot of talent, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not the quarterback. I got to stop you right there. I said, this is not Gavin Hardison. This is a different Gavin. But I know what you're trying to do here with that UTEP quarterback. And he goes, well, you're Gavin on the radio?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, sir, that's me.
Pucking up like Chris Paul.
Because up until that point, I just said, I'm a different Gavin.
So if Roger Staubach wouldn't have called you, you would have had no idea what was happening.
I would have had no idea at all. I would have just been completely shocked. Yeah. But once he starts telling me about
you
the UTEP quarterback, I could tell, okay, I could stop you right there, and I have a pretty good idea of you know what's going on here. I know you want to be getting a hold of Gavin Hardison, and I support everything that you got going on there. He goes, well, you're going to have to give your buddy Babe Laufenberg a hard time one of these days because he told me what happened with Roger, and I just wanted to have a little bit of fun with you.
Oh, so he was in on it the whole time.
So Jason Garrett called me on a prank initiated by Babe Laufenberg.
Oh, jeez.
That is amazing.
So I'm sitting there with Jason, and I'm
some
thinking,
time on his hands.
Yeah, he's like waiting around in the Birmingham airport.
Yeah, I'm pranking a radio host now. That's what I'm doing.
Go to Dreamland Barbecue and get you a sandwich.
God, his life has changed, huh?
So I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, that Babe Laufenberg, he will go a long way for a joke, won't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a few laughs. I told him, I actually told him, I said, man, I thought for a second there, all the things that I said about, you know, the Cowboys over the years was going to come full circle on me. And I waited to see how he reacted to that. He just completely laid out for about two or three seconds or so.
Sure he did.
I should have asked about broadcasting or something, or how his first game went in the USFL, but I did not have the game on. I did not have the game on it. I did not know Jason Garrett was calling that. Or maybe I could have asked him what he really thinks of Brian Broaddus. That would have been a good question.
No, that would have been a good one. Because if he was honest, he would have told you how much he hated me.
Really?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been honest, though.
I don't think he would have. But, yeah, I mean, you know, seriously, there's no love lost between him and I.
I will eat your ass.
None at all.
Well, I'd say we're old buddies now. At this point, all that old coaching stuff and the criticism of him, that's water under the bridge.
You guys are boys now, man. Yesterday was filled with surprises, huh? Yeah. I mean, from the Jason Garrett call to the Mavs victory, but I will tell you, there is no bigger upset yesterday than Lucius bleeping Alexander spending his Sunday watching USFL Birmingham football.
That's right.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's called couch lock. I was stuck. I couldn't get up. I'll be here for a while.
Did somebody move the remote?
Yeah, sure did. Son, come downstairs. And he's got the little headphones on his head. He can't hear nothing I'm saying.
How was the football?
It was, you know. It was good. Jason Garrett was great.
Yeah.
Was good. Jason Garrett was great.
They need some more quarterbacks.
They need just a little bit of something.
I just wanted to thank Babe for involving me in his prank. And in any way I could get intertwined in the former Cowboys quarterback club, I thought that was pretty damn amazing. And thanks to Jason Garrett for having fun with it. Okay, the Woolly Bully is coming up next. Zach Wolchuk, he is live from the baseball stadium. He'll give you his thoughts on the Mavs victory, the Cowboys weekend, the Stars, and much more. Then we have John Daniels coming up at 4:20 here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.